You're listening to the Destiny Community Church Podcast.
Hey, we're in the middle of a series called Uncommon Sense. Uncommon Sense. And once again, I want to reiterate, for the purpose of this series, we're using the definition of the word wisdom as the ability to know and apply truth that aligns with God's will and God's way. Again, the ability to know and apply truth that aligns with God's will and God's way. The first week of this series, I explained to you that wisdom and knowledge are two different things, and that knowledge without wisdom is dangerous. And I've been just really stressing this point. The world has plenty of knowledge. We have too much knowledge, but we're lacking in wisdom, and we have been since the beginning of humanity. When Adam and Eve were created, they went and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They had knowledge, but they didn't have wisdom. And I told you that wisdom is uncommon sense. It's not common. Not everybody has it. As a matter of fact, I would say most people don't have it. It's uncommon sense. But everyone can obtain it. And as King Solomon asked God, he prayed to God for wisdom, we can too. We can pray to God for wisdom. Last week, we dug into some of Solomon's Proverbs, these quick tidbits, if you will, of wisdom for everyone. And we also discovered that everyone should strive to grow in wisdom. That should be the goal. We have not arrived. Don't believe that you have arrived yet. You're not completely wise. And we should be striving, just as a 12-year-old boy by the name of Jesus had to grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man, so do we. I told you, wisdom is not a destination. Wisdom is a journey. And we should all be on that path. Amen? Today, we're going to continue our series as we continue to explore how we can gain wisdom. And I want you to go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're not abandoning the writings of King Solomon. We're just going to see how they apply in the New Testament also. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and just hold your spot there. We'll be there in just a few moments. There was a young man that was searching for the meaning of life, and specifically for the secret of wisdom. He wanted to know how to become wise. And he heard that there was this guru high in the Himalayan mountains who held the secrets of life and wisdom. So he set off to find this guru. His journey was not easy, and he struggled through hardship and travail until finally, high in the mountains, he found the master sitting cross-legged, meditating in the lotus position. And he approached the guru very carefully, and he said, "Tell me, master, what is the secret of wisdom?" And the master replied, "Good judgment." But the young man wasn't satisfied with that, and so he said, but how do I get good judgment?" And without hesitation, the master answered, and he says, "That's easy. Experience." Again, not satisfied, the young man persisted, and he said, but how do I get experience?" "Ah," the master said, "bad judgment." You have probably heard it said that experience is the best teacher. Experience is the best teacher. I'll submit to you, church, that a wise person isn't someone who gets everything right. No, it's someone who learns from their wrongs. That's what being wise is. It's not about always getting it right. We're not perfect. We'll never be perfect this side of glory. But it is about learning from our mistakes, learning from our wrongs. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 14 and 16, he says, "One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless." I am now a half a century old. I think that's the first time I've actually said it out loud. I'm a half a century old now, and I've seen a lot in my lifetime. I've made good decisions, and I've made bad decisions. I have failed, and I have succeeded. I have made decisions to be proud of, and I have made decisions that I am not proud of. But I'll tell you this, church, one of my greatest accomplishments in my life has been learning from my mistakes. And I would say that for every believer. One of the greatest lessons we could learn is to learn from our mistakes. I think that is wise. I think that is a supernatural wisdom and an opportunity in our life to learn from our past mistakes. Solomon said it like this in Proverbs 26 and 11. And embrace yourself. He says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. You hear that? Listen to the writings of this wise king. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. In the New Testament, Peter reiterates Solomon's wisdom in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22 when he says, they prove the truth of this proverb, a dog returns to his vomit, and another says, a washed pig returns to the mud. Mistakes are not the problem, church. We make mistakes. We're human. We make mistakes. That is just part of life. We're going to make mistakes. You don't know what you don't know. But at the moment you know it, then it's the responsibility to get it right. But at the moment that it is a true, realized mistake, it usually is information or knowledge that you were not aware of, and you kind of stumble into that. But habitual mistakes are what is careless, and that is unwise. When we keep making the same mistakes over and over, and so Solomon said, that's like returning to the vomit to lick it up. And then Peter said, it's like returning to the mud to wallow in it. Going back and making the same mistakes again and again are like the dog and the pig. You're going to make mistakes. I don't want anyone in the room to feel like because you've made a mistake that you're exempt from wisdom. That's not the case at all. You're going to make mistakes, but mistakes are meant for learning, not repeating. You've got to learn from those mistakes, not repeat those mistakes. And if processed properly, mistakes have the power to turn you into something better than you were before. You can become a better person. You can become a better husband, a better wife, a better parent. You can become a better employee. You can become a better employer. You can become a better person, a better Christian, when you learn from your past mistakes. It's like that child that touches that hot burner on the stove. You know, you only have to tell them one time, right? Because when they finally do touch it, they'll never touch it again. You know this, right? We have to be the same. We must learn from our mistakes. With that being said, I want to get to really what I want to talk to you about today and offer you an alternative. I want to show you another side of this that I believe can teach us some valuable lessons. I hear parents sometimes that seemingly justify the mistakes of their children, specifically their teenagers. It feels like this often happens with teenagers, as if it's a rite of passage. And hear me out, because I understand. I was a youth pastor for 9 years, the first 9 years of my ministry. I understand that I have some opinions on parenting, and I've been saying it for a while. It's the reason I'm not going to write this book on parenting, because you'll hate me. You'll cancel me. I know you will. But it drives me insane sometimes when parents allow certain mistakes with their teenagers and just kind of dismiss them as if it's a rite of passage. Like certain mistakes are destined to happen, and that's just part of growing up. You know, you've heard these phrases. Well, I partied when I was their age. I guess they will too. I was rebellious when I was young. They get it naturally. Or everyone has to sow their wild oats. Guys, these are dangerous statements. Think about this. These are poor excuses that justify bad behavior. And as parents and as leaders, as Christ followers, we should not justify bad behavior, but help people learn from their mistakes. And I'm not saying that kids have to get it all right all the time. I am saying that when they get it wrong, there needs to be consequences, and we just can't excuse that behavior away. But you would buy my book. Where are the rest of you at? I'm telling you, church, When they get it wrong, we have to bring that behavior under correction, and we just can't excuse it away. Mandy and I made mistakes when we were teenagers. We did. We made mistakes. But we were determined to raise the standards as we raised our kids. I didn't want my kids to make the same mistakes that I made. I wanted them to be better human beings than me. I wanted them to be better Christians than me. And guess what? They are. My kids are so much more advanced in their spiritual maturity than I was at their age. What if there was a way to avoid making the same mistake that someone else has made? What if we could do that? Solomon, in all of his wisdom, he said it like this in Proverbs 21 and 11. He said, when a mocker is punished, the simple gain wisdom. How many of you feel like you're a very simple-minded person? Oh, just four of us in the room? The rest of you are geniuses? What's up? I mean, like, I need it in elementary terms. Like, I'm not the brightest. I know that. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I get it. I'm sharper than a lot of you. But nevertheless, I need simple wisdom sometimes. And Solomon said, listen, when someone else gets it wrong and there's consequences with it, he says the simple gain wisdom from that. Those who are observing gain wisdom from that. The king wanted us to know that it is possible to see the mistakes of someone else and gain wisdom so that you don't repeat the same mistake. And so the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth with some similar instructions, and it goes into a little bit more detail. Remember, the Proverbs are a bunch of one-liners. It's just some thoughts that the king had. Solomon just writes down the one-liners. But the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and he explains it a little bit more in detail. Listen to what he says, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 11. He says, I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. These things happened as a warning to us, so that we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. As the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble as some of them did and then were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. Paul reaches back nearly 1,500 years and reminds his readers of the sins of the Israelites, the Hebrews, during the Exodus. This is so important. He said that their mistakes serve as an example of what not to do. He says, these are the people, he said, don't forget, these ancestors, their mistakes show us what we should not do. The Hebrews in the wilderness, they worshiped idols. They overindulged in food and drunkenness. They were sexually immoral, and they grumbled and complained against their leaders, and they also grumbled and complained against God. And the Apostle Paul warns the Corinthians not to make those same mistakes. You see, church, when you study the city of Corinth, you'll realize how imperative this warning was to that church in Corinth. When you really know what they were living in, the environment they were living in, you will begin to understand why the Apostle Paul was stressing this point to them. Corinth was the fourth largest city in the Roman Empire. And it was very influential. It was known for its commerce and its culture and even its corruption. You see, the people of Corinth were absorbed with luxury and lust and a lascivious lifestyle. There was this saying that they had, and people would say, to live as do the Corinthians. To live as do the Corinthians. And when you heard that, it was a euphemism for living the vilest kind of life. You're acting like a Corinthian, is what they were saying. You're acting and living life like they do. And it was not a compliment. The church at Corinth was planted on Paul's second missionary journey. And Paul stayed there and pastored that church for about 18 months. And then when he leaves, he turns it over to a gentleman by the name of Apollos, and he appoints him as pastor. As you can imagine, that church was tempted by worldly wisdom from every angle. The wickedness of that city surrounding them was very influential, and it was invading that church. Most scholars have labeled this church as the Apostle Paul's most problematic church, and it has everything to do with the lack of wisdom that they lived in that culture of Corinth. So, in this effort to help them make wise decisions, Paul reminds them of the mistakes of people in their past. 1 Corinthians 10 and 6, again, he said, these things happened as a warning to us, so that we would not crave evil things as they did. You go down to verse 11, and Paul says, these things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. Church, may these warnings serve as a reminder to us as well. May we glean from that. We do not have to travel the same road as others around us. And I really want to talk from the heart just for a moment for some of you. Because you've heard these phrases before, and I'm not here to debate them, okay? But you've heard of generational curses. If you're uncomfortable with the term curse, then generational stronghold. You've heard these sayings. And it's not as uncommon as you think. Because I will tell you this. It's all about how we've been influenced. From generation to generation, as we progress in time, these strongholds that plagued our grandparents and our parents and now us, they are passed on to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And before you know it, you've just got tremendous strongholds over a family that they have been battling for so long. Church, I want you to understand this. We don't have to travel that same path. We can say it stops with me. I don't want to continue walking that path. I don't want to keep living life the way that it was passed down to me. The fact that we have to learn from their mistakes tells us that this is uncommon sense. You're just not going to come by it on your own. You've got to stop. You've got to evaluate the circumstances. Some of us, maybe all of us, we need to take a long, hard look at our family and our family history. And we need to celebrate some of the wins, but we definitely need to look at the losses. We need to look at some of the things that have plagued our families. And we need to make some changes right now. And we need to ask for wisdom, divine wisdom from heaven, to help us get past those strongholds. As a pastor, I have witnessed firsthand the destruction of other people's mistakes. I've said this for many years. I have an advantage that many of you don't have. It's a heavy load because I talk with so many people and deal with so many problems. It's a heavy load, but what it does is it shows me the destructive nature of humanity. And so I have learned to take heed and learn from people's mistakes. I've seen the effects of alcohol abuse. I've witnessed addictions that destroy the home. I have counseled and cried with those affected by infidelity. And you don't think that it has saved me from making some of the same mistakes? But church, listen to me. It goes beyond the most extravagant offenses that we think of. And sometimes it's a whole lot more simplified, but yet we excuse it away. I know the subtle yet devastating long-term effects of poor time management and people who simply put their careers ahead of their families. I know. I see the generational anger issues that leave innocent lives emotionally scarred, and it's passed down from one generation to the next. I recognize the financial struggles of poor decision-making that have been passed down from father to father to father, from mother to mother to mother. I watch it. I see it all the time. And some of you are stuck in that rut right now that has been blazed by your family. And I'm telling you, God wants to break those strongholds. King Solomon and the Apostle Paul remind us that we do not have to succumb to the mistakes of others, that we can learn from them. And church, as we pray for wisdom, we should learn from our past mistakes, but we should really learn from the mistakes of others around us. I grew up as the youngest of four boys, no sisters. I was the caboose. I was the last one. And I was that oops, at least with the family. God planned me, but the family did not plan me. I was the uh-oh. My oldest brother was a senior in high school when I was born. The next closest brother to me was 9 years older than me. I was not planned by my parents. Planned by God, but not by my parents. One of the greatest deterrents for me was witnessing the mistakes of my older brothers. Alcohol, drugs, immature living, even as young adults. I mean, they were just the decisions they were making. And from the ages of 12 to 15, I thought they were pretty cool. And I began following in their footsteps. When I was 12 years old, my brothers, when I would go and spend spring break with one of them, and a couple of them would live in the same area. And so we would hang out a lot during spring break or even during the summer if I went and stayed with my brothers. And when I was 12 years old, my brothers did the responsible thing in their eyes. And while they were drinking beer and liquor, they handed 12-year-old Rocky a wine cooler and said, we're not going to let you drink this other stuff, but here you go. Here's a wine cooler. And at 12 years old, that's where it started for me. And from the ages of 12 to 15, my life was heading down a destructive path, following in the rut of my family. Because I had uncles and just addiction just runs in our family. And watching those examples in my life, it was leading me down the same path. At 15 years old, my eyes began to open. And I saw the destructive path of my brothers and their families. I saw what it was doing to them. And I'd made a change. I made a decision at 15 to follow Jesus, to eliminate those things from my life, and I learned from their mistakes. But it went beyond that. My father was an amazing man. You've heard me talk about my father many times. My father was an excellent, loving father. He loved his family. There was never a time that I didn't see my dad that he didn't hug me. My dad told me often how proud he was of me. But my father was not perfect. My father made some mistakes. My dad was a pastor the day that I was born. That's all I knew. I never knew him any other way. My dad was a pastor the day I was born, and I was raised in a pastor's home. But with that came priority problems. My father lived for the church. He was there for anyone and everyone. My dad would have been your favorite pastor because he just loved pastoring people. He was there for them. But in turn, we didn't take family vacations. Our idea of a family vacation was dad's got to go to a conference. And so we'll tag along and we'll swim at the pool while dad's in meetings all day. And so that was the idea of a family vacation for us. I remember my dad attending only one of my basketball games in high school. Great man, but it was not a priority to him. I was the kid that no one came to watch play. It just wasn't a priority. When I started off in ministry, I started down that same path. And I was neglecting my marriage. I was neglecting my young children. I was always busy with ministry, even to the detriment of my own home. I remember it hit me one time while we were still living in Tampa, because I was coaching middle school and high school boys basketball. But my son, my 4-5-year-old son, someone else was coaching him. I was coaching everybody else's kids. But I wasn't coaching him in many ways, not just sports. And I realized I had to make some changes because I was following in the same footsteps in that same rut. Responsible, took care of my family financially, was a Christian, was in ministry, but I was neglecting the time, I was neglecting the being present. And it took me a while to realize that the church is not my bride, that you belong to another man. And as much as I love you, I had to learn to prioritize my family and let them be first, or I was going to lose them. Now, as a grandfather, I'm still learning from the mistakes of others, and I'm not going into the details of that. I'll tell you, I have learned from the mistakes of others. And I've also witnessed what it looks like to be a good grandfather. And I've learned from those examples too. We should learn from the mistakes of others and be intentional not to repeat them. It is a gift that God has given us. And Solomon told us, the Apostle Paul told us, recognize those shortcomings and become better.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church Podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.